Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn tunes can tell you a lot about the hymn itself, especially when the hymn text and tune are paired really well. When they are paired up well, the tune can really help the singer and the listener understand the emotions behind the words. Today's hymn of the day, the subject of our sermon, Lo He Comes, actually has had two different hymn tunes associated with it in the last two hymnals. In Lutheran worship, Lo He Comes was paired with Picardy, the tune which we associate with Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for every sinner slain. Thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, 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 Christ the Lord returns to reign. What emotions does that tune evoke along paired with those words? For me, the emotions that I feel would be penitent, perhaps thoughtful or contemplative anticipation, perhaps even a little fear and reverence. Now, compare those emotions to those evoked by the tune in Lutheran Service Book, which is called Helmsley, the one that we just sang. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for every sinner slain. Thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, 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 Christ the Lord returns to reign. To me, that tune evokes emotions more along the lines of joy and excitement, and awe, perhaps, of how absolutely incredible the sight of Jesus returning on the clouds will be. The way that we sing this hymn can change our thinking about Christ's coming and about what he means for us. As we look through the hymn, we see as we look through Scripture, we see a huge contrast between his first coming and his second coming. The first time that Christ came, it was as a little baby in a manger. The angels were singing the Gloria in Excelsis, but only to a few shepherds and some sheep out in a Bethlehem pasture. The joy and happiness, which are always associated with new birth and, of course, with Christmas. All of those emotions are present at Jesus' first coming. And yet, it was simply a little baby. However, we look at the depictions of his second coming, and it will be in the clouds as an adult. In Acts 1, verse 11, the angel says, "This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven," which we see described multiple times in Revelation. Or in Matthew 24, Jesus is describing this very occurrence and says, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." When Jesus comes that second time, the emotions will be radically different from those experienced by Mary, by Joseph, and by the shepherds at his first coming. The first time he came, he was born in a backwater province of the Roman Empire. No one outside the Roman Empire really knew what was going on. The wise men from the east came to worship him at his birth, and then returned to their homelands, and there were visitors from the from all over the Roman Empire who came, but they really didn't know what was going on. The joy of Jesus' birth was only shared by a very few witnesses. However, the same cannot be said for his second coming, when everyone will know what is going on. You won't be able to miss it. There's no, oh, I missed the news today. Huh, Jesus came? No. Everyone will see. Every eye will behold. This goes for both believers and non-believers. In Philippians 2, Paul writes that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Everyone will see and everyone will worship whether they want to or not. Now, for us believers, this will be a time of great joy and great excitement. It is the realization of everything that we've hoped for. Jesus is coming back and we know him, we love him, we trust him. He is doing this for us. As John describes it in Revelation chapter 7, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every tribe, from all nations and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Matt, can you picture the emotions that that scene would evoke? The joy, the excitement, the incredible joy of seeing Jesus returning, Jesus sitting on his throne, the culmination of everything that we have longed for, everything we have hoped for. That is what the second coming will be like for us believers. But at the same time, for unbelievers, this will be a terrible time. They will know their failures, that they stand condemned by a perfect and holy God. They will experience the fear of God's judgment. As John says in Revelation 1, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." Even those responsible for Jesus' passion and death, those who rejected him, will see what he did for him, for them and weep on account of it. For us, it is a time of great joy. For them, a time of great fear. And when he comes, we will see, even then, on his body, the marks of his passion. It is incredible to think about what Jesus did for us. He did not just become a human being like us, but rather he went so far as to die on the cross for us. He did it for us to take away our fear of God's judgment. He suffered God's judgment against sin for us. He did not need to die for his own sin. He had none. And so he died for ours. And as if that's not enough, he will always carry those reminders of his passion and death. We will always have that reminder before us of the wages of our sin, even after Christ gives us all new, perfect bodies without any scars or deformities. You know, that's actually something that I've wondered about. When we when we are in the new heavens and new earth, when we receive perfect bodies, will we still have scars? A part of me thinks, no, our bodies will be absolutely perfect, like new. However, another part thinks that we will have scars, specifically scars we receive for Christ's sake. Just as Christ still has the holes in his hands, the hole in his side, when he appears to the disciples in the upper room after his resurrection, his followers will also have those marks of their devotion to him, their faithfulness. The scars that Christ has are a visible reminder of what he did for us. Those scars that his followers have are a visible reminder of their faithfulness to death. In heaven, scars received through persecution would be worn, perhaps, as badges of honor, like the medieval statues of the saints depict them. For example, Saint Bartholomew, who according to tradition was flayed alive, is often pictured holding a flaying knife in his hand and with his skin draped over his arm. That's kind of gruesome, and yet that is how faithful he was. They no longer would hurt in any way in heaven, and yet they show faithfulness. Either way, when we are in heaven, we will rejoice and praise our triumphant Savior all the time because he won for us. He won. And so both of the hymn tunes that are paired with Lo, He Comes have their place. As Christ is in the process of returning, I can imagine those who are left on earth experiencing all of those emotions represented by the earlier tune. Penitence, fear, reverence, awe, as they await him with trembling knees. But for those who have died in the faith and join him in his triumphant return, I can imagine them experiencing the emotions represented by the tune in our hymnal, joy, excitement, awe. They have nothing to fear anymore. Both sets of emotions fit. However, I pray that as we look forward to Christ's coming on Christmas, as we look forward beyond that to his second coming, we will approach it in joyful anticipation, knowing that we have nothing to fear from his judgment, because Christ has taken all fear away from us. Now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we await his coming. Amen.